Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, folks. As usual, it's Taylor Nielsen, and I'm on my own today. What a sad thing that is. But still, the sadness is accompanied with some bittersweet joy, because while my co-host is not here, we have an equally funny comedian to interview. Let's see who it is.
And my wife and I, we were talking about what we want for our future kids, and we're both very open-minded. We just want to love them, support them, whatever. But there was one thing I told my wife. I'm like, I really need this for our kids. There's one thing I need. And she said, oh, tell me. We're a team. We can work on this together. Just tell me. And I said, Adrian, I need for our kids to be ugly. And she laughed in my face. And I said, I'm very serious about this, Adrian. She said, why would you want our children to be ugly? And I was like, do you know how hot people have treated this chubby ginger his entire life? I don't need that attitude from my little children, okay? Hot people don't even acknowledge people like me. That's a parent-child relationship doomed for disaster, all right? It'd be terrible. I wouldn't want to overhear them and their hot friends hanging out. Like I'm about to go in and say hello, but before I enter the room, I hear one of their hot friends go, so, like, is that guy your dad? Yeah. Ew. Then I turn around with the plate of cookies I was about to surprise them with and walk away.
You know who it is. He's got three Dry Bar comedy specials. His latest, Ugly Kids, just dropped on Dry Bar Comedy Plus. He's a comedian, a friend, the co-host with the co-most. Give it up for
ooh,
Jordan Macon.
What an introduction, Taylor. You know, I thought you would crumble without me, but you're thriving on that side of the table.
I'm starting to like it. Power might be going in my head.
Well, let's see how this goes before.
It's good to have you.
Well, thanks for having me as a guest. I never thought you would ask.
Well, when you got a killer special, and honestly, I mean that because though I haven't seen the special yet.
Because I haven't watched it yet.
I've seen a lot of the material.
Yeah.
And it's, as always, you're one of my favorite comedians. And which is why I think we're doing this together, is because I've always loved your comedy. And that's a sincere compliment.
Really? I thought it was more just because I was the only one willing to do it that lived near the studio. But that means so much more.
You know, it's about 50-50.
I'll take it.
Both.
I'll take it. What was your favorite joke on my special?
I like the Ugly Kids.
Oh, the title? You like the title track?
Yeah, but I do remember that bit. And you also do one about the home renovation shows.
Home renovation shows. Open concept. Closed concept. Just a little teaser for all of you at home.
A clip is dropped at this point on socials.
Some say it broke the internet. Some are saying that.
Experts.
My people are saying
experts,
that.
Experts are saying that.
But I specially designed my special for it to keep the internet running smoothly. So if that's what's happening, that's because my special dropped.
You're not one of these jerks who's trying to break the internet.
No, why would I want to break? I love the internet. I want to keep it running smoothly.
Oh, I'm going to break the internet so the internet that shows my special can't show my special anymore?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Okay, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one for you, Kim.
But yeah, I think the internet's fine. If it broke, it broke. No, there's a great dynamic we have when we're co-hosting together.
Sure.
Where when we don't know what we're going to say next, we'll glance at each other.
And it's worked pretty well up to this point.
But it's not going
to
work well at this point. No,
this is because before we were playing doubles tennis, and now we're just playing tennis.
Yep.
And I actually have played tennis. I'm pretty good. Have you ever played tennis?
Have I ever played tennis?
What about that great tennis bit on your special?
Is that a fat joke? Yeah. No. I've run around on a court before, Taylor.
That's not what I'm
ever
that's not what
tennis?
I'm asking.
You know, see? I feel like our chemistry is lacking a little bit right now.
What do you
and we were looking at comments before the episode.
Okay, but it. I want to get to your comedy backstory.
But I think we should do this before so we can have
okay.
the chemistry.
Is this something someone said in the comments?
Yeah, this is from Joe Santos on YouTube.
Okay. Great friend of the pod.
2455. if you're wondering which Joe Santos.
If you're wondering the last four of his social.
He had a great comment I think will help us.
Okay.
Help us get through this episode without it being too weird.
Yeah.
He said, I know the commenters, meaning the YouTube commenters, sometimes complain about the chemistry betwixt Taylor and Jordan. And if you're wondering, yes, he used betwixt.
Wow.
Why not try holding hands and high-fiving in an energetically and... Why not try holding hands and high-fiving energetically and constantly? I don't know if we're going to do constantly. He said, in a heterocomical kind of way. Trust me. Okay. Do you think we should try that real quick?
This is known as the Santos method.
Yeah, the Santos method. Can we hold one hand and high-five
yes.
with the other?
I hope this is going to be the preview of the podcast.
Wow, your hands.
Whoa.
Taylor's hands were so sweaty.
No. Do not. The viewers can tell who the more sweaty one is, Jordan.
Head's sweatier, but.
My hands.
In the studio.
It all goes to my hands. The sweat.
It's hot in here because I had to watch you do 37 takes of the intro of this podcast because you couldn't decide whether to be sad or happy.
You ever worked with Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep.
That's a deep cut for you podcast fans.
What movie were they in together?
A ton.
A ton.
They were in...
Last of the Mohicans?
Last of the Mohicans. All like the Daniel Day-Lewis stuff.
Is he in Lincoln?
All the PTA stuff, I meant to say. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Wait, did you say Daniel Day-Lewis or Paul Thomas Anderson?
I said Daniel Day-Lewis. I said that Daniel Day-Lewis and Philip Seymour Hoffman were together in all of the Daniel Day-Lewis stuff, which is not what I meant to say.
I don't know. I can't picture them in one scene together, but I know they both have been in PTA stuff.
Yeah, maybe I'm making that up. I think I am. They're such great actors. It's kind of like they're both leading men. But kind of like us, maybe they we're both leading men, but we can lead together.
We can...
Hands holding.
High-fives constantly. Thanks, Joe Santos, for that one. That helped us get comfortable in this podcast a lot.
It's the conversation's flowing.
But I don't want to get sidetracked. I know you have lots of questions you prepared for me.
I got a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
Let's talk about the ugly kids bit.
All right.
Okay, so what was the origin of that?
The origin is that my wife and I, we were planning to have kids.
Right.
Honestly, the origin is really the setup for the joke. And I said, we were discussing whether we want very attractive children or ugly kids. And I said, ugly kids. And she didn't think I was serious. And I wasn't totally serious when I first said it. But then she kind of was like, that's dumb. And then I doubled down. I was like, no, it's actually not dumb. It's actually better to have ugly kids. And that's where that came from. Because I said, because hot kids, this face with hot kids.
Yeah.
They're not going to listen to me.
Right, right. The power dynamic's all wrong.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to do the whole bit for you.
They just saw it? Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of origin other than it was an idea I had, an actual conversation with my wife, and I've convinced myself, the more I do the joke, the more convinced I am I want ugly kids.
Yeah,
we'll trade in ours if it's not ugly.
You can always make them more ugly.
what a terrible thing to say.
I don't know what that means. So let's go back. You've done 3 Dry Bar specials.
Yes.
You're very...
Third time's the charm, they say.
you're very honed, a very honed comedian. Am I saying that? Is that a real
well
world?
Honed.
Well honed. Your yep. material.
I don't know if I agree, but that's what you were trying to say. Yeah.
But you told me to say that before we started this.
If you could bring up well-honed, a master of his craft, anything like that.
Handsome.
Ooh. And that kind of detracts from my ugly kids, but...
Yeah. Yeah. If you were too handsome, you couldn't do that bit.
Although I do have old women after shows very often say, you're very handsome. You'll have attractive children.
And they also like your red hair.
Old ladies love the red hair. Are you just trying to set me up to do every bit I have?
We gotta fill the time somehow.
So you can check out my redhead jokes and my Heck Boy special.
So tell me, where did the desire to do comedy stem from? Were you always a comedy fan? I don't actually remember this.
I don't know if you ever asked me before. We've been friends for a long time. You've really never asked me. Yeah. I know why you got into improv, because you had no friends. And
okay. All right. Let's keep this civil.
Civil. When we look at each other the whole time, I feel confrontational, like it's a battle.
I know.
Don't you?
Yes, you absolutely. That? Absolutely.
I got into comedy. I wasn't really a huge comedy fan growing up. Like, I watched Seinfeld all the time. I knew that was stand-up. I remember...
Starring?
Jerry... What's his last name?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, that's right. And that was a little good improv bit.
Yeah. But we don't have to say that because it...
No, it's good to point it out for the viewers at home. I remember Dane Cook's album. I forget what it was. It was a really big album. Right. That was like when I was in junior high that came out.
The Cooks in the Kitchen?
I feel like it was called like... I don't remember the
Great
name.
Dane?
Are these actual titles or are you just making up?
I'm trying to see what the lowest lying fruit.
Yeah, you're doing name things. I see what you're doing. I listened to that and I was like, this is crazy and filthy, and it kind of exploded my brain a little bit. But
in a good way?
Yeah, I really liked it. I don't know. I haven't listened to it in a long time, but that was my first time listening to like a full comedy hour.
Right.
And other than just like watching Seinfeld and the stand-up he does there. So I wasn't a huge comedy fan. But what happened, I mean, I like comedy in general. I love comedy movies. So I was like a big Judd Apatow guy in high school stuff. But what happened was I was interning at a radio station my final year of my undergrad in college. And so I love Judd Apatow. And I'd heard of this podcast by a guy named Mark Maron where he interviewed Judd Apatow for like 2 hours. And I loved Judd Apatow movies so much that I would like buy the DVDs, watch the special features, listen to the commentaries. Like, I love that stuff.
What are some popular Judd Apatow movies?
Their titles are... I don't know if they're dry bar appropriate.
What the VidAngel version of Becoming Sarah Marshall? Is that one?
He's a producer on that. He's a producer of tons.
Right.
Once he's actually directed The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Virgin. You told me to dry bar it up. We can say virgin on here. I feel weird saying these titles. Are you going to bleep these out? Yeah. My favorite one was Knocked Up. That was my favorite one. But we don't have to say that. He was heavily involved in The Anchorman. He didn't direct those.
Right.
Funny People.
Yeah, he's involved in like everything.
Yeah. So I was way into him, but I had heard that he was interviewed on this podcast. I was like,
it called?
It's called, this is good actually, the WTF podcast.
What's that stand for?
And we'll get there. Here's a crazy story. My mom, if you watched my last special, which you did, you probably heard about my family growing up religious.
Yeah.
And we didn't use swear words in my house at all. But this was like maybe 10 years ago. It was my brother's birthday, and my mom got a present for him. And the present, when he opened it up, were these green socks. And on the socks, they said WTF on them.
What? WTF, yeah.
And he opens them, like, Mom, why did you? Because my mom's just so innocent and pure.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, do you like them?
Two green socks.
WTF on them. Why'd you get these? Do you like them? I mean, yeah, but it says WTF on them. She's like, yeah. And we go, do you know what that stands for? And she's like, well, I thought it meant Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh. She really did. She thought maybe on the other side was like a Monday, Wednesday. So it's like, is there everyday socks?
Oh,
they're Monday,
so
Tuesday,
cute.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
That's cute.
So I listened to him on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday podcast.
Viewers, let us know what you think WTF stands for in the comments. Dry bar eyes it where make it appropriate.
Dry bar eyes it.
TM.
Yeah, trademark that. So I was listening to this podcast.
TM, Tuesday, Monday.
Any acronym is just a day of the week, okay?
Yes. Okay.
So I
heard about this podcast.
And so I found this podcast, and then I started listening to it when I would have to commute to this radio station every morning. It was over the summer for this internship I was doing at like 4 a.m. It was like an hour drive.
Right.
And so I started listening to this podcast. I listened to that episode. I'm like, oh, I love that. Let's listen to another episode. And there were some people I knew, some people I didn't. And eventually, the early episodes of that podcast are mostly just comedians getting interviewed.
Right.
And I remember listening to these and hearing stories. I remember hearing like Norm Macdonald talk about his life. And I remember hearing comedians talk about like bombing and stuff too. And even those terrible stories, like that's kind of fun. Like what a crazy thing. And I still haven't bombed yet. So I don't know what that's like, but thanks for going along with that. So as I was listening, and then I went to the internship and there were other interns there. And I started talking like, do you guys want to try comedy one night? I've heard all these stories. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's try comedy. So all the interns, we looked up the Wise Guys Comedy Open Mic.
Yeah.
That was in Trolley Square, which doesn't exist anymore. Well, Trolley Square does, but not the Wise Guys. And went to open mic one night. And I will say my first time I did pretty well, actually.
Really?
I was very afterward, I was like, that was easy. Like, I guess I'm great at this.
Yeah, yeah. And this was 19...
yeah, 1983 when I started. No. I didn't start till 2013, I think, is when I started my first open mic. And so I remember I was like, oh, this is awesome. And there was one other person that kept going with me. Most of the interns were just like, I did that once and I'll never do it again. There's one other intern that we kind of kept going. And my second time, I bombed really hard. And I've always said there's something wrong with comedians. I've always said, going way back, I've always said, because when you bomb, some people bomb and they go, that was awful, I'll never do that again. I bombed and was like, I need to get back. Like, I need to win. You know, I can't end on a loss.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of how it started. So once I started listening to these podcasts, and I was like, oh, then I'll go listen to comedy specials. So I was actually kind of a late bloomer as far as loving stand-up comedy goes.
But more an appreciation of comedy movies led you into the stand-up world.
Yeah, so filmmakers like yourself.
That's right, yes. And would you say that cycle of bombing, doing well, bombing, is what has kept you going for the last... how long has it been now? 10
Yeah, years? When I first started, I wasn't super consistent. So, I mean, it's been 10 years since my first open mic. A little bit longer, actually.
Today?
10 years this day.
Wow.
No, but that would have been interesting if that was true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the zenith.
Yes, zenith. Warrior Princess. Look at us riffing on this podcast.
We can do it. We can do it.
Let's see. No, I learned that because it wasn't really that I needed a win. It was just that I actually really I liked the rush of a win. It wasn't I was going to win and then be done. But it was like, oh, I love how this feels. I feel alive for the first time.
And was recording this last special one of those times? Exhilarating.
Recording specials is always stressful and exciting. I'll tell you what I'm worried about. And viewers at home watching my special, let me lay the groundwork.
A little BTS.
The first show, you watch the podcast. I'm a co-host. You see that I get a little sweaty sometimes.
Yeah, because we turn off the AC in here so that we can, you know, the air doesn't affect the sound.
So to show a little the behind the scenes, to remove some of the mystery, Drybar specials, they usually have two recordings. And my first recording, and I decided I was going to wear a jacket this special, which was just a bad idea. I'm already sweaty enough, and I have a jacket on stage. And my first special, the AC wasn't going at all. Or the first, not special, first a recording of this new special. And I got really, really sweaty. And I had a ring of sweat in my shirt. And I had to take off my sweaty, disgusting shirt and give it to someone to put in a dryer.
Between
shows.
Wow.
And the second show, they finally got the AC going, so I was sweaty, but not as sweaty. But when they showed me the cuts, I was like, oh, I like the first half of the first recording and the second half of the second recording, but I was so stressed about the sweat continuity that like I didn't want to be getting super sweaty and all of a sudden be less sweaty.
Did the editors say it's not as bad as you think?
I think they CGI'd some extra sweat in for the second half of the...
Yeah.
No, watching it, I can tell where I know where they cut.
Yeah.
That's a fun little family game for you at home. See where the sweat differential changes. And
what?
So, anyway. What was the question?
I think I asked if your most recent recording was one of those exhilarating moments. Yeah.
I gauge exhilaration by how sweaty I am. So very...
Well, I'm stoked to see it, because at this point when we're recording this, it's not out yet, but it will have come out on Drybar Comedy Plus by the time it's released. So, wow.
Wow.
Peeling back the curtain for you guys. So we've talked about the highs of stand-up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the lows.
All right.
Is there any time that you bombed so bad that was a funny story?
Looking in your, why is there a twinkle in your eyes when you're asking this question? This is the first time you've seemed excited to hear me talk about something this entire podcast. You just want to hear about me failing?
No, it's just comedians like talking about this, right? Would you say?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I like hearing about it. I don't know if I like sharing my examples, but I have.
You can also say it's the time that you saw me bomb, if you can narrow it down.
Oh, yeah. Let me bring out my spreadsheet. I did a really terrible show, and I remember it was the first time that I took, we weren't married yet, but my girlfriend or fiance at the time, she came with, it was me and Alex Velluto driving out to Rock Springs, Wyoming. And I was trying to be like, cool, like, look, I do shows on the road sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went out there, and it's a, I think they still do it, it's a place called Johnny Max, but it's a bar show. Not okay. A dry bar show, yeah. A bar show.
A bar show, wet as can be.
Yeah. And I think my jokes were a little too cute at the time for this crowd.
For the bar.
Yeah, now I'm biting, you know, and relevant and political.
Which is the Jordan we like.
And I bombed. And it was like, I had to do like 20 or 25 minutes or something. It was just me and him.
And then
I just sit next to Adrian and then watch Alex get all the love.
Oh, did he? Did he?
He did a lot better than me. Did he well? Yeah. What else? One time I was doing a show and this there was a lady in the very front stage to the right of me. And she looked very displeased the entire show. And unwell. I don't know. She seemed like she was having a really rough and not fun time.
Right, right.
And I thought she was talking to a friend next to her, like very loudly in the front. And so I kind of was like, what's going on here? And the person next to her was like, I'm not talking to her. And what she was actually doing was doing speech to text, saying, someone come please pick me up.
Oh, man.
Right here.
Speech to text. Like, you can't just text it.
No.
No.
Speech to text. So she wanted me to know, is what it felt like.
That is so rude.
I also had a show where the opener, there's a guy here in Salt Lake named Matt Tribe.
Sure.
Who is
a wild, very crazy funny guy.
He's a wild, crazy guy, screams about conspiracies. It's very enjoyable to watch. And he was right before me. Then I get on stage, and I'm headlining the show.
Right.
And there was this guy that was eating up Matt Tribe stuff. And I performed for like 10 minutes or so, and he's not into my brand of comedy. Yeah. Everyone else, though, having a great time.
Yes, yes.
I watch him stand up. He walks to the back of the room where Matt Tribe is sitting. I'm performing jokes. And audibly, I hear him go, you're so much funnier than the guy up there right now. And I went, are you actively saying that you like the other guy better? And it was like, ah, he was a little bit drunk or whatever. And then I think he said, that was the only show where the club manager said, there's somebody out there that says they want to fight you or something, so maybe just don't go out the front.
No way. And you think it was that guy?
I think so, but I wasn't really that mean to him. Yeah, you just
asked him a genuine question.
So I should have fought him.
Should have fought him.
You ever been in a fight?
Yeah, of sorts.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't mean of sorts. I mean of like punches.
Yeah. Well, it was a fight implies it was both ways rather than just me being punched.
Oh, you didn't fight back?
No, because, well, I probably wouldn't have. So you want to hear the story?
I would love to hear
the story. I don't want to take time off of your episode.
Well, you are.
So I was out. I was playing soccer outside. And this kid, he was like a skater kid. I was part of like a, I was on the soccer team. We were like a bunch of soccer kids hanging out.
You didn't like the skater kids?
Well, after this, I didn't mind him before. But he comes up, he grabs the ball, throws it over the fence.
And you're not allowed to use your hands in soccer.
Yeah, that was the real crime. I kept yelling out, handball, handball. But he wouldn't listen. So then I climbed the fence, which was against the rules.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that too.
And I grab the ball, I come back over, and I line it up, and I'm like, I'm going to kick it at him. And he's like, don't do it. don't you do it. And then so I kicked the ball at him.
Did you hit him?
Yes, but it bounced off his leg.
But he's like, that's
not a
good.
Not a critical
hit. How far away was he?
Oh, yay distance between you and me.
Oh, he's pretty close.
Yeah, so it wasn't crazy because he was like running towards me, and then I kick it at him, and then he punches me in the face.
Ooh.
He scrapes up his hand on my braces. I had braces every time, which is classic. And then, but then two of my friends jumped on his back and started like choking him out. And then within seconds, the lady who patrolled the yard during, you know, break or whatever, arrived, and she put a stop to it all. But I remember apologizing to him, being like, oh, I'm so sorry. Not a great look for me.
Wow. You were a victim, and you just caved.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, you did the first physical act of violence.
Yeah.
By kicking the ball at him.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the thing was, like, he was on the ground, like, being choked out at the time, and I was like, I'm so sorry.
Wait, you were choking him out?
No, I wasn't being I wasn't choking him out. My friends were.
Oh.
And it was like, so I was like in no danger, but I think I generally felt bad. Like I was like, oh, I've made him so upset that he's doing this, but maybe I was just scared.
So you're saying when you upset me, I need to act out violently and then you'll actually feel some regret about it.
I think those days are behind me.
I can tell. You're a pacifist now.
I am.
No fights since then? I've never been in a physical altercation.
Interesting. Yeah.
These hands are so soft.
I noticed that when we were
home. No manual labor, no fights. Quite soft hands. let me tell you another story.
Okay.
If I may.
Absolutely.
Similar.
Just we have time?
Your ball being kicked. I don't know when we started because it took you 37 takes to get this podcast going.
We've been in this room for 3 hours.
It's been a really long time. And our social media director, Holland, is here, and she's been through a lot. You okay, Holland?
Yeah.
She nodded yes.
Yes.
We're going to continue for 2 more hours, just so you know.
This is it's a slow burn podcast.
I remember as in second grade, my mom was my second grade teacher. And everybody loved her, so it wasn't nerdy, it was cool. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But kind of, that actually is true.
Yeah.
and arbitrarily, there'd be a kid that's like student of the week or whatever. Student of the week. And I think she held off giving it to me because she didn't want to look like she was picking favorites.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Nepotism.
Oh, I got a good story too after this one.
Well, we'll see if there's time. And what happened was, this kid got his student of the week, and he was kind of not a super nice kid. I was skeptical of the decision.
Okay.
And then I was out playing basketball by myself, shooting hoops at recess, second grade. He walks up to me, doesn't even seem to say a word to me, grabs my ball, and then punts it as far as he can and walks away. And at my elementary, there's this huge hill that kind of led up to the playground and stuff.
This
and
is the kid who got student of the week?
Yeah. And so I remember I was sad. It was just so mean and out of nowhere. And I went to my mom and I said, I don't think you should have given that to him. And I told her what he did. And she was like, oh, yeah. Like, obviously, it doesn't matter. But later in life, this guy murdered someone. So I think, wow. I think I was kind of right.
Were you expecting it? Were you... Wow. Were you?
It's really a sad story.
When you started out that story, were you expecting that? Did you know that that was how the end was going to go?
When I started telling you the story?
Because it seemed like a very humorous anecdote until you said the words, he murdered someone.
Well, that one's got the biggest laugh from you and all of you freaks.
I'm a little twisted. But that's so funny.
No, that.
But it goes to show, student of the week.
I didn't make that up. That's a real story.
Oh, I know.
But you asked when I started the story, did I know that would end? Like I made it up.
Is this a bit you do on stage?
I think I tried an open mic, but it's a little sad. It's hard to get the murder line to work, but for some reason it worked for YouTube.
Yeah.
But there was a weird thing. That's my brain going. Well, I was kind of right about him getting the student of the week.
I'm worried that people think that about me.
That you're a killer? Or what?
just that, like, if I was ever mean to somebody, And then they were like, "And but everyone thought he was so nice. But today, he's co-hosting the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast."
And what does that say about you? Wait, are you relating Dry Bar? Are you saying that's the same level as murder?
I think so, yeah. Just kidding, folks. We love the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast as much as you guys.
Holland's hands are in her face. Her face is in her hands right now. And she has no idea how to make any reels out of what's happened so far.
So one thing I know about your comedy, and something I relate with you on, is having a little bit of a sheltered upbringing. You mentioned the WTF socks, right? Mm-hmm. It just goes to show how innocent, you know, your parents are. I think that's something I kind of relate with you about, and maybe something that is kind of in my comedy voice a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about that sheltered upbringing that, you know, informed your comedic tastes?
Ooh, what a thought-provoking question, Taylor. I do think when you're kind of sheltered that you can find humor in stuff that isn't as it's easy to push the envelope in a sheltered community or upbringing. Yes, yeah. Right? Uh-huh. If you're not sheltered, the craziest stuff is funny, but that sometimes that's going too big for like our comedy tastes.
Right.
So I think when you're sheltered, you find ways that are really funny to like push the envelope, but still within the safe realm of, you know, being clean or sheltered or whatever, and kind of poking at those boundaries is what's funny.
Right. Something like it gets real specific. I want to react to some comments that we've gotten on this podcast.
Oh, so
We've gotten comments, good, bad, critical.
Somebody called me Bill Butter recently. Said Bill Burr's looking rough. More like Bill Butter.
Butter. Wow.
Because butter is not is high in calories.
No, I think it was the buttery glow of your skin.
Oh. Then why do you say I'm looking
bad? You shine like butter.
Buttery glow. You wordsmith.
Jordan should shave his hair bald. Grow the beard another 1 to 2 inches. It's a good look. Winky emoji.
Winky emoji. That's the winky emoji. I read this comment, and I didn't know if the winky emoji was like, you'll look stupid. You know what I mean? But I think they actually are looking out for me. Many people say I should shave my head and have the beard, but I feel like there's so many dudes doing that.
Yeah, I like your look. Your swept back look.
The thing is, my head, like, I know my hair doesn't look good, but there's not a way to do it that does look good.
Right.
It's just range of not goodness. And I'm picking a specific one, man. And I'm going with it.
Well, you sincerely have such a beautiful beard.
Oh, thank you.
You do. It's like, it's such a nice color.
Cheeto. Thank you.
Cheeto.
That's a good comment. All right, we got another one. This is a good one.
Yuck, I hate podcasts.
Wow.
So that seems more a critique of the medium than a than a specific one. So I feel okay about that.
And the fact they're hanging around the comments, I hate podcasts, but I love hanging out with these two. I think that's the unsaid portion.
Yes, absolutely. Yuck, I hate podcasts usually.
Yeah. We're adding some context, but I gave this 2 seconds before I gave a thumbs down.
That's
this person
a rude one.
Comes in on multiple podcasts and says, I gave it 2 seconds, thumbs down. You're barely getting through Taylor saying hello.
Some say 2 seconds is a little too short to get a grasp on the podcast.
They're watching me or you go, hello, welcome to the bonk, thumbs down. It's
It's just in enough time for me to mess up one word and then they're out.
But we take into consideration. We've really been trying to up the energy in the opening 2 seconds to hopefully get this reviewer.
You want to read this one in the obvious accent that it's written?
Okay. HHM King says, this is better than Australian funny. Crikey.
That crikey was a little embellishment, but all right, now.
That's a crikey emoji. The laughter with a sweat drop.
That's totally.
Which is just an emoji of me on the podcast, actually. I don't know what that means. Is Australian a type of humor?
So, I think what it means is
Baz Luhrmann's movie Australia. We're funnier than that movie.
Better than the one-liners in Australia. I think Australian humor is light as if.
I like that you just launched into a sentence. and went big. That's what I.
That would might be called pulling a Macon.
Okay, touche.
Touche. No, I'm thinking like Australians. Really, they're like really my. They're loud. They're loud people. They're wrestling.
These are bad. I'm losing it. These are bad.
Crikey. They're wrestling. We're wrestling gators, crocodiles. And we're not doing any of those things.
No. And it's still better. Or at least more funny.
That's the breakdown. And then we're gonna check in a week and this comment's gonna be deleted. After this podcast, redacted.
Yeah, but we have.
This is not Australian funny.
We kept the receipts.
This is worse than Australian funny. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention Australian funny isn't funny at all.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Oh, this was a comment on the Jose Sarduy.
Okay,
episode.
So little background. I did one podcast where it was just me and a comedian I was interviewing.
And after the, how did you do that so well that one time? To be totally honest, did I want you to do well for the podcast to do well? Yes. But did I log in to the comments going, where's Jordan? I'm hoping there would be comments saying, where's Jordan? Oh, we missed Jordan this episode.
I believe there was one comment at one time that said like, I said, like, oh, I miss Jordan. It was like, Jordan who?
Oh, jeez, man.
But it would be the same thing if I was gone. But this comment says, one-on-one is much better.
Let's let them respond after they see this episode and see what they still think.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if this was our solution? Or like, instead, we're just going to do the one-on-one format, but with the two people that you didn't like.
You asked for it.
Okay, and it continues. I usually don't watch the cringing three-person interview. I only clicked on his because of the comic interviewed.
The cringing three-person?
The cringing. Now, I don't want to be a grammar guy or something, but I don't think they're using the word cringing correctly.
The cringing, it was that, yeah. Because that would mean we're cringing.
I like you back and forth. Okay. What do we got next?
Do you want me to read this one?
Yeah.
All right. Rob says, I love Dry Bar. Love it. But the podcast, not so much. But probably a ton of people do. So keep it up. Oh, that was a roller coaster of a comment.
Yeah.
I like that he was willing to acknowledge, maybe it's just not for him, but it could be for everyone else. I feel like that's a lost realization on the internet.
That was like a reality show judge response, like Simon Cowell. You do a good Simon Cowell.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to do it now?
Yeah. It's like,
I thought we were just talking about things.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Just pretend like you.
I love Dry Bar. I love it.
Yeah. You Dry Bar act, really?
Well, I love Dry Bar.
Well, I love Dry Bar. But.
I don't like this one, but probably. Other people do. So keep
I'll
doing
see
it.
You.
I'll see you in Las Vegas. You're going to end Las Vegas.
Can't wait for the supercut of our accents on this.
I think I was doing the same one for Australia and San Miguel. The top one?
This one.
Okay. Shouldn't the star of the show always be on camera? Flip a coin and lose a sit, only because who cares what you both say? It's about the blue baby, not you ladies. So that's obviously a Josh Blue episode. And I agree, it is about the blue baby, not us ladies.
So he doesn't want us on camera at all.
So he would have this camera cut out.
Would we be asking questions? He's like, lose the two. Lose the chairs, put them on a stage, give them my microphone.
Yeah, maybe that's the same guy who said, yuck, I hate podcasts.
Yeah, he's like, maybe I don't hate it. I just hate these aspects of it. Could we
lose the two and then give him a mic on a stage? I'll be honest, Josh Blue is definitely the star of any show.
He's lovable.
So I can't be mad at that comment.
Kind, funny. Some would say the Taylor antithesis. Sorry.
Okay. Wow.
This
wow.
one's really special.
It's really special. Should I read it? Oh, wow. So this person said, this podcast only gets better and capital better.
4 months ago.
4 months ago. I think that might have been for our first episode.
And that was, I love this and guy. That was Jordan Macon. That sounds a lot like your name, Jordan Macon.
It must be another. I wouldn't go to the comment section to try and boost our own podcast. That seems like a conflict of interest. This must be another Jordan Macon that looks like he also does stand-up comedy. It's also has a very sweaty red complexion. I did. I left that comment. Three likes.
Three likes.
That's pretty good.
Three people agree.
One, two. Holland.
And drive our comedy. And that's the only approval we
The only one we're trying to impress.
Okay, now it's been 4 months since that comment. Mm-hmm. What would you amend it at all?
I'd remove one better.
Well, there you have it, folks.
What a fun time.
Jordan, it has been a blast.
Thank you for having me as a guest. Although I am itching to get back in that seat next to you and be
it's
a co-host.
It's the seat you belong in.
It's where I feel most comfortable, but it's been great looking at your face and being in the studio for nigh on 7 hours.
Is there anything you want to say to our fans before we get out of here?
If you haven't already, check out the special, Ugly Kids, and make sure the sweat continuity looks okay to you. You've probably been seeing the sweat continuity of this episode as it's progressed a little bit. I think it's actually fitting how sweaty I got in here. It's really hot in this room today.
It's so hot, unbearably.
But follow me on Twitter, jordanmacon.com, Facebook. Follow the Drive Bar Comedy Podcast Instagram page. See reels of me and this guy. Thanks for having me, man.
I love hosting this thing with you, and I love just getting to know you, being your friend.
Hey, man. The feeling's mutual.
Mutch. Thank you guys for tuning in. This has been the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, and we will see you next time.